Friends, as we prepare to hear scripture this morning, I invite you to join me with our prayer of illumination. By the power of the Holy Spirit, let us pray. Lord, open our hearts and minds by the power of the Holy Spirit, that as the scriptures are read and your word proclaimed, we may hear with joy what you say to us today. Amen. So our reading today comes to us from the Gospel of John. We are actually going to step off the Revised Common Lectionary Plan because each week we're going to focus in on a section of the Apostles' Creed. So this morning we are going to read from the Gospel according to John. I invite you to stand in a posture of praise as we hear these words. I'll be reading from chapter 12, verses 37 to 46. You're welcome to follow along on the screen or with your pew Bible on page 1310. Here's my challenge for you. I would like you to listen and count how many times you hear the word believe. Okay? Although he had performed, meaning Jesus, so many signs in their presence, they did not believe in him. This was to fulfill the word spoken by the prophet Isaiah, "Lord, who has believed our message, and to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed?" And so they could not believe, because Isaiah also said, "He has blinded their eyes and hardened their heart, so that they might not look with their eyes and understand with their heart and turn, and I would heal them." Isaiah said this because he saw his glory and spoke about him. Nevertheless, many, even of the authorities, believed in him. But because of the Pharisees, they did not confess it for fear that they would be put out of the synagogue. For they loved human glory more than the glory that comes from God. Then Jesus cried aloud, "Whoever believes in me believes not in me, but in him who sent me. And whoever sees me sees him who sent me. I have come as light into the world so that everyone who believes in me should not remain in darkness." Friends, this is the word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God for it. Please be seated. Pray with me. Gracious and most holy God, on this first Sunday of Lent, as we are wandering through the wilderness, just as Jesus did, will you continue to pour your grace upon us that we may be encouraged and strengthened and challenged, that we may grow in our faith and in what we believe. We know this is possible because Jesus is the lens through which we view our lives and this life that you have called us to, a life full of love. And we pray this in Jesus' name, that the words of my mouth and the collective meditations of our hearts will be pleasing to you, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Okay. So, if you were listening intently, how many times, and I'm going to invite you to show me on your fingers, right? Hopefully you can do it with two hands. Show me on your fingers how many times you heard the word believes. Okay, great. Well done. Everybody gets gold stars today. Yes, most of you said seven. You're like, yes. Now, here's the question. Did you actually listen to what I shared this morning? No, because what were you listening for? Believes, right? And so in that case, you know, part of that process is we are trying so hard to hear one thing that we miss a whole bunch of other stuff. Can I get an amen? Amen. All right, so I'm going to read it again. I don't want you to count believes, so that you can actually hear what I read this morning, okay? Although he had performed so many signs in their presence, they did not believe in him. This was to fulfill the word spoken by the prophet Isaiah, "Lord, who has believed our message, and to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed?" And so they could not believe, because Isaiah also said, "He has blinded their eyes and hardened their hearts, so that they might not look with their eyes and understand with their heart and turn, and I would heal them." Isaiah said this because he saw his glory and spoke about him. Nevertheless, many, even of the authorities, believed in him. But because of the Pharisees, they did not confess it, for fear that they would be put out of the synagogue. For they loved human glory more than the glory that comes from God. Then Jesus cried aloud, "Whoever believes in me believes not in me, but in him who sent me. And whoever sees me sees him who sent me. I have come as light into the world so that everyone who believes in me should not remain in the darkness." Friends, again, the word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God for it. So as we begin this season of Lent, and as I talked to the kids a little bit, and we've talked in different settings about some of the spiritual disciplines. Wednesday at Ash Wednesday, I shared a little bit about what this season of Lent is intended to be. It's a time of reflection, a time of repentance, a time of remembrance, a time of returning to God. Because if we understand the nature of humanity, we know that we need all the help that we can get to be in right relationship with God, because it is sin that separates us from God. And sin can be those things that we consciously do and maybe those things that we do that we don't necessarily know. And most of the time, that sin is the things that have us turned away to recognize the glory of God. And so when we think about things being made right, there's this motion of turning back towards God, back to what God intends for us. And so we enter into this season with how many days? How many days is the season of Lent? 40 plus Sundays, right? And it's to model, you know, the 40 days that it rained with Noah and the ark, and the 40 days of Moses being on Mount Sinai, convening and communicating with God, and the 40 days that Jesus himself was thrust out by the Holy Spirit into the wilderness to really spend time in private isolation and conversation with God and preparing for the work and ministry that was yet to come. So 40 often has some really deep theological meanings for us, and we can hear echoes of that throughout Scripture. But today, I asked you to listen for which word? Believes. So some of the tools, and I love that I got a chance to take the confirmation group to Duke Divinity School, right? They were like, "Why did you go here?" I was like, "Because that's where I learned more about God," right? And one of the tools that I had to learn how to use in terms of interpretation of Old Testament, more importantly, interpretation of New Testament, is something called the Strong's Exhaustive Concordance of the Bible. How many of you have study Bibles that you can go to the back and look up a specific word and see where it's referenced in Scripture, right? So if I wanted to look up the Spirit, right, Becky? You know, you can look and it's going to say, "Oh, well, go to this passage or go to that passage or go to this passage." And a lot of times it's really helpful to know how many times a particular word appears in Scripture. You know, because then you're like, is this a common term? Sometimes if a word in a particular context is only used once or twice, it means pay real close attention to this word because it is rare and it means something important. Now, on the other side, you can have a word that is used a lot. And when it is used a lot, we may discount it as having importance, right? Because it's so prevalent. Why does it matter, right? Depending on which translation of the Bible you go to, you can do a search for a word and find a count for how many times that word is used. So I looked up the word believe. And it starts, now, Adam, your eyes are younger than mine. Is that big print or small print?
That's pretty small.
That's pretty small. We might need to use 2X readers to get this one. But believe starts here. And every reference, believes, believeth, goes all the way over here. That's a lot of references. In terms of numbers, it's about 294 times believes is used in Scripture, and most of it happens in the New Testament. And particularly, which gospel did we read from today? John. Do you know believes is used in the Gospel of John somewhere between 94 to 100 times? What do you think the overarching message of John's gospel was? To believe, right? And we hear that. They're like, they saw the signs, the miracles, the work, the healing, the teachings that I did so that people could what? Believe. And so oftentimes, and I know that Miss Kathy will probably do this next week, but there is a scripture reference from the Gospel of John that pretty much everybody knows what it says. For God so loved the world that whoever believes in him shall not perish but will have eternal life. You know, and we make jokes about how we'll see signs at sporting events that say John 3:16, right? Because at the core, you know, that is really what this witness of life looks like. It's so that we can believe that what Jesus is doing is for us to have eternal life. Now, that passage continues on, and it says, for God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but rather so that we could be reconciled unto God. I might have butchered the last part of it, but to get the part, the reference, right? How many of you have gone to 1 John 3:16? Sue? Yeah? And it says almost what? The exact same thing, right? If I was to pull that up, I would see that it says almost the same thing. So whether you go to John 3:16 or 1 John 3:16, the message remains the same. We are called to believe. And oftentimes when we in our humanness and our brokenness sometimes get a little turned sideways. And so we can call out to God and say, God, help my unbelief. Help me see how you are working in the world so that I can believe. And we hear this word from Isaiah, and when we think about the prophetic words, that words were recorded so that when they came to fruition, they could validate that that person truly was a prophet of God. That prophet spoke to God to hear what needed to be conveyed to the people. And the prophet would speak to the people in order to convey what was needed to God, right? So it was this cooperative relationship of back and forth communication. And yet we know from the scripture that we just read that there would be people who would see and people who would hear who would have no idea what was truly happening. Because their hearts had been turned away. Let me say that again. There were people who would see things and hear things who would not know what's going on because their hearts had been turned away from God. And the only way that our hearts can be turned back to God is through God's grace and through Christ Jesus and by the power of the Holy Spirit. But it means that we have to come in and acknowledge when we aren't listening, right? When we aren't seeing what is actually happening in the world. when we aren't digging into Scripture to really focus in on what that message is that God is wanting us to hear, when we aren't praying regularly, when we aren't in community regularly with one another, when we don't see the needs of our neighbors, or we don't pay attention to the ones who are sick or in isolation or where there is injustice in the world, the list goes on and on. So why are we here today? The season of Lent is a time for us to turn, to return to God, to focus in on those places that our belief in who God is, a God of love and grace and mercy, is strengthened. We are reminded and we are equipped to live that truth into the world. And our words have to be more than simply words. So how many of you are familiar with the Apostles' Creed? Yeah, pretty standard, right? I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, who was crucified, dead, and buried. Third day he rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Right? Now, thankfully, I was able to do that word for word. I probably maybe missed something, but y'all would look at me like, wait a second, you didn't do that right. But we have this in our hymnal, and there is something about the Apostles' Creed that matters. And when we think about the Apostles' Creed, and we think about the relationship to Jesus as individuals, we know that Jesus called his disciples, right? This inner core of people. And even Paul referred to himself as an apostle of Jesus Christ. And when we think of the Apostles' Creed, there's this long-standing tradition of things that they, as a community of people who were focused on the way of Jesus, said, these are the things that we share in common. These are the things that we are going to believe together, and in our belief, we will be bound together to be able to profess rightly into the world. Now, there are traditional versions and ecumenical versions, and there might be some distinctions, and the kids are having a great time. Yes. It's my fault. I let them throw rocks this morning, and, you know, all bets off. But they are having a great time today. I want to say, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. But the Apostles' Creed matters, right? And there is something called apostolic succession, which means that you can trace from one person to the next person, to the next person, to the next person, to the next person. Like, I can look at my lineage of my ordination and be able to trace it all the way back to when John Wesley sent bishops to the U.S. This idea that there is this long-standing passing on of the faith, this long-standing passing on of the words of our faith, the long-standing pathway of how the truth and nature of God has been shared from one person to the next. And when we profess these words, I believe that at the core is the starting point for our identities, of how we live our lives, of how we engage with one another. It also means that if there are other people outside of this congregation that are professing the same words, there's probably more in common with those people than we want to give credit for. Do you hear me on that? And sometimes when we think of John Wesley, and particularly his sermon, The Catholic Spirit, he acknowledges that there are going to be differences in opinion. There are going to be different theological understandings and different ways of going about doing church. And church is the primary means in which God is proclaiming the message of salvation into the world. He says, we may not all think alike, but we are all called to love alike. And when we are all called to love alike, then we will agree on some words that bind us and how we manifest that love. I believe in God the Father. I believe in Jesus Christ. I believe in the Holy Spirit. And I believe that God is not done with us yet. That there is much to do, that we are part of a bigger story of salvation. And that is where my hope is found today. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.